Our second reading this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, from chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. This is in a section that with a little heading in many Bibles that says, Some Sayings of Jesus. And so we'll listen again for God's word to us. The apostle said to the Lord, Increase our faith. Then the Lord replied, If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, Come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink, later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I wanted to start by sharing, and particularly if you're not on Facebook or didn't check Facebook this morning, Wade preached at two services in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania, and I can't remember what particular congregation, but one of their congregations at their two services, he preached in English, and then it was translated into Swahili. And Dan Seelock also preached this morning in Malawi at both the English and the Chichean service, and again was translated. And so they send greetings. They are doing well and have had a good time. I can't remember how many wells Dan and Susie have put in. Wade told me, and that number flew out of my head. I have so many other things. A lot. Wade helped put in 60 wells this last week in Tanzania. Is hoping to do another 35 with Innocent before he leaves to come home. So thank you for keeping them in your prayers. Keep praying for the team, and they're doing good work over there. So today is World Communion Sunday. And this year for us, it's easy to remember that because we have members who are spread throughout the world right now in Malawi and Tanzania and Lithuania. And so we have connections, personal connections to all those places. But every year that we have World Communion, every year, it is a chance for us to remember that great body of Christ that we are all members of and how it is spread throughout the world and not just in this one place. I think it's easy for us to get so focused on the next thing that we're doing here and what God is calling us to do here in this one place that we can forget about all of those other places. And we do that to our peril because our lives and our faith indeed are enriched by all of those connections throughout the world. And I was thinking about connections when I read our reading from 1 Timothy this morning. This is the beginning of the second letter that Paul has written to Timothy, who is one of the younger people in the faith that Paul has guided and helped to raise in the faith. Paul mentions having laid hands on him and he commissioned Timothy to go out and spread the gospel. But I also wanted us to remember that verse about the faith of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And remember that even for Timothy, his faith is enriched by those connections to his family, by those connections to Paul and to the other early Christians. That is a source of strength and encouragement and hope for him, as it is for us. And so I wanted us to remember that. And then I read our gospel lesson, and I almost didn't put it in the bulletin to read this morning. This is one of those passages, like one that I had a few weeks ago when I preached at our Redeemer Lutheran Church, that it's like, really, okay, this isn't an easy passage for us, but it's one where Jesus talks about having faith, and having faith, and the disciples have said to him, increase our faith, give us more faith. And he says, well, if you had enough faith, you could say to this, you know, be uprooted and thrown into the sea. And then he tells the story about a master and a slave. And the slave has gone out into the fields and worked all day and comes in. And Jesus says, the master doesn't say, oh, you've worked so hard, go sit down and rest and I'll take care of you. No, the master expects the slave to keep working. And the slave is only doing what he is supposed to do. This is one of those difficult passages for us to read, I think, because we are uncomfortable about the idea of slavery nowadays. In those days, when Jesus said these words, slavery was a fact of life. It was something, whether it was moral or ethical or not, the fact is that was a part of the culture and something that would have made sense for the disciples. But for us, you know, in this day, we obviously have a repulsion to the idea of slavery. And so I think it's hard to read these verses and perhaps even harder for us to identify with the slave in this passage, and Jesus telling us that we are like slaves in how we act. But the deeper message here is what is we kind of read through it, is that it's not just about what we want. We are called to do certain things. Jesus says, you know, the slave is supposed to go and plant and tend the sheep and come and wait on the master, and you have certain things that you're supposed to do. And God calls you to do those things, and you don't do those things because you're going to get extra recognition, because you're going to get a blue ribbon or a gold star or something like that. You do those things because that's what God has called you to do. That's how you live your faith. And so I think that is a message that can speak very powerfully to us. It's not just about what we believe, but it's about what we do. I talked with Tom back in August before he left, and he talked about, he said a line again that I've heard him say many times, and you probably have too, that we have to pray, but we have to put our feet into our prayers. We have to walk it. We can't just pray for something. We have to do something. And I think, in a way, that's what Jesus is telling us in this passage. We can't just believe things. We can't just ask Jesus to give us things. We have to do them. We have to do our part. We have to put our feet into our prayers. We have to walk and serve in our lives. Indeed, that's what's expected of us. That's what happens when faith grows up, just like Paul wrote to Timothy about how he is called to do things. When that faith of his mother and his grandmother matures in him, he is called to go out and teach and preach just like Paul was. So what are we called to do? It's an open question, and it's a question that changes and that we reflect on again, over and over again. The answer to that question specifically for you might be different from what it is for me, and it might change throughout your life, and in fact, I hope it does. I hope there are new things that God is calling you to do, but nonetheless, we're called to put our feet into our prayers. I'm going to share a story now, and I don't think I've shared this here before. If I have, you can listen to it again. but this is a story of a woman who was a member of the church where I did my internship in Belmont, North Carolina. And she was older when I met her. She had been the kindergarten teacher in Belmont, and so generations, you know, for about 20 years, everyone in Belmont had been in her preschool class. I went back when it was a small town and there was only one. And so she'd had quite an impact on many, many people in that little town. And when I knew her, she was elderly. She was in her late 80s. She had numerous health problems and was shut in. And she had caregivers who came in and helped her, but she couldn't really get much further than the couch in her living room each day without someone really helping her. And so she didn't come to worship. She didn't get out. But her living room, her house was next door to the church. And her living room had this big glass window that looked out, and you could see the church and the education building and the playground where the kids from the daycare went and played every day. And I remember going to visit her shortly and take her, actually, I think it was World Communion Sunday that we took her communion that afternoon. And she told me, you know, I used to do all these things. I taught kindergarten, and then I taught Sunday school for years, and I was on session, and I did, you know, all these things. And she said, but I can't do anything anymore except pray. And so that's what I do. So she told me how she sat on her couch every day, and she woke up early, and she said, I can see the sun coming up over the church. And she talked about how she prayed for the church. She prayed every day for the pastor and the secretaries and the educator and the musicians and for me as the intern. She prayed her way through the church directory for everyone who was a member of the church. She had learned through conversations with other pastors in Canton Town. She was also known as the confidant of all the pastors in town. Anytime a new pastor came to town, she would invite them to come and visit her and tell them, you can tell me stuff you don't want to tell anybody else that I won't tell. And that was a gift as a pastor to have someone you can share things with. That was a true gift. But she prayed for all the pastors in town, all the churches in town. She knew from visits from people, she had learned the names of all the kids in the daycare, about 75 kids who came every day to daycare at that church. And she would watch them go out and play on the playground and pray for them and their families. And I kind of get choked up thinking about it, because what a gift that was for us. This woman who had done so much in her life, but she physically couldn't do much more, but she could pray. And she did, day after day after day. For many years, she prayed for us. She passed away the year that I was there as an intern. And at her funeral, Richard, the pastor, said, "You know, I'm a little scared to get up and come to work tomorrow because she's not going to be here praying for me like she always has been. And I'm going to miss that, and that meant so much." So I share that story with you to say there's always something that we can do. There's always something powerful that we can do. It may be we're called to go to Tanzania or Malawi and drive trucks and install wells. It may be that we're called to stay and pray. No one calling is greater than another. All of those are things that we do to the glory of God so that God's kingdom may come to this earth. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you now, and I have to remember what's next, to join me as we, I guess we don't stand, I will stand, you can sit. We'll say the Apostles' Creed together. Let us say what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.